I love her coming in with "All I Do Is Win." The Toronto Raptors win the game. All they do is win, win, win. Maybe at MSG.
4 of 5, though.
That's right. They're heating up, Justin. Just in time to make some decisions on their future.
And you want them to tank.
I never said that. I said it's in consideration, is it not?
You're dealing with it.
We're all dealing with conflicted thoughts, conflicted feelings. Well, someone that's going to see the Raptors up close and personal tonight is Stan Van Gundy, former NBA head coach and current NBA and TNT analyst, calling the game tonight, Raptors-Bucks on TNT. How's it going this morning, Stan?
It's going well. How about with you guys?
Oh, you know, we're living in the highs and lows of the Toronto Raptors last night. The power of MSG, or yesterday afternoon, I guess, 3 p.m. start. I think the Raptors must just rise to the occasion at the Mecca, at the most famous arena in the world. I don't know what it is, but they play their best games there. Is there something special about being under the bright lights at MSG?
I mean, not to me, but I guess to some people, and it was particularly good, I think, for the Raptors to see Fred VanVleet have the kind of game he had yesterday.
Yeah, it's fairly important. I mean, it's pretty simple, the equation, when it comes to the Raptors. If you get a good Fred shooting night, the Raptors have a decent chance to win because, you know, we kind of saw it. When Fred's playing his best, when he's hitting shots, when he's knocking down shots, the Raptors can formulate a pretty good starting five, and that starting five, you know, they all dealt with 45 minutes last night going overtime, but they played well deep into the game and cohesively. But I think it kind of outlines the issue, which is the Raptors are really, really lacking depth. Are you seeing that beyond those starting five? And when that starting five is going, they can carry you through. But if they have to dip into the reserves, that's when they really have a challenge.
Well, I like their bench guys up front. I like Achiuwa. I like Koloko. I love Boucher. I think those guys can play. They don't have much guard depth. They don't have a lot of guys off that bench who can make plays. But the biggest problem with the Raptors is they haven't been able to shoot the ball. They're the worst shooting team in the league, last in the league in effective field goal percentage, last in the league in three-point percentage. It's tough to win in today's NBA when you can't shoot. And that, to me, is pretty simple when you look at the numbers for Toronto. They just don't put the ball in the basket.
Mm-hmm. And it's putting a lot of stress on the operation, the culture. Really, if there's a story for the season, it's that it's been a challenge to the culture and what they've built and what they believe and what they basically hang their hat on, because we're hearing more and more that there might be some mild level of discontent, at least within the Raptors organization, whether it's the players, coach, what have you. We're still kind of waiting to figure out exactly what's wrong with the Raptors. But when there is like even a basic level of discontent within a roster, within a team, how difficult is it to overcome, especially when wins, which cure everything, are hard to come by?
Well, that's the whole problem. I mean, you know, there are very few happy teams who aren't winning as much as they expect to, and there's very few teams with discontent when they're winning. I mean, it really comes down to what you believe is the chicken or the egg. You know, I mean, that's what it is. And to me, it's the losing that causes the discontent. I mean, all they would have to do is go on a 5-game winning streak, and there would be no more talk of the discontent. They would talk about how they figured it out and they've got it right. It's all about winning. And for this team, it's about figuring out what they can do with their current roster to play better. And it's about what the front office can figure out on how to make the roster better. It's pretty simple. Right now, when you look at it, I mean, they're going to need more guys who can shoot the ball. I watch them play. I look at the numbers. They play extremely hard. You know, they force the most turnovers in the league. They lead the league in steals. They lead the league in points off of turnovers. They are disciplined to take care of the ball. They have the fewest turnovers in the league. I mean, when you are the worst shooting team in the league and your opponents shoot an extremely high percentage, third best in the league for their opponents, I mean, you're just in a world of trouble right there. So some things have to be figured out. But I think the bottom line is this roster is not as good as maybe they thought it was going into the season.
So knowing what the issue is then, and, you know, we've been talking about this all season long, the fact that they can't shoot at the rate that they need to be successful. It's both a performance problem, but it's also a management problem. I mean, we've been talking about this for a couple years now. Yeah, they found a way to get decent shooting, but it's never been it's like they have to work harder for that to achieve that than other teams that have that natural shooting ability because they prioritize natural shooters. The Raptors just haven't really found themselves in that position, I guess, for a couple seasons. So when you look at the situation where they don't have enough of something that's very, very important, what do you think the reasonable path forward is? Is it taking a small step back by cashing in a few small chips before the deadline? Is it taking a big chip and putting it in play and taking a serious step back? Or do you add shooting? Like, what do you think the most reasonable path forward is here over the next month as the Raptors prepare for the trade deadline?
Well, those are all possibilities, right? But the only thing, I mean, I think Raptors fans have to be realistic. They're not doing anything. They're not making any kind of significant move if one of those five starters aren't involved. There's just not enough on their bench that they're going to bring back anything significant. So I think the real choice is, are they going to try to tinker around the edges and do what they can this year? Are they going to make a major move with one or two of their starters to bring back high-level player that can help them with some of their needs now? Or, and I don't think this is likely with Toronto, or do they start breaking it down and trying to rebuild? But there's no way in my mind, and I love how hard the Raptors play, there's no way in my mind that the roster they currently have has any chance to contend in the East.
We're speaking with Stan Van Gundy, former NBA head coach and current NBA on TNT analyst. So we talk about maybe the starting five being the pieces that would be shipped elsewhere. What do you address, or how do you view Fred VanVleet's market value? He's been somebody that's been circulated, I mean, as long as well with Gary Trent Jr. But if we start with Fred, someone that's had a bit of an up and down season, to say the least, and obviously dealing with some shooting issues, how do you view a piece like that? Someone that's also a leader in this team and been a part of this Raptors core as a piece for another franchise?
Yeah, well, I think he would still have value. I mean, I think obviously the shooting has been a problem. Honestly, I look at Fred VanVleet's shooting, and I would say all the time to guys, when your shooting percentage is low, there are only two choices here. There are only two options. Number one, you can't shoot. Or number two, you're taking bad shots. And personally, when I watch the Raptors, I think Fred VanVleet's shot selection could be much, much better. I think he takes too many difficult shots to shoot a higher percentage. So I think his shooting is correctable. Not necessarily real easily, but I don't think there's any problem with his shot. He's got to get to taking better shots. I think his value would be high, but that's a significant piece to take out of the Raptors organization. You hit it on the head, Ailish, that like this guy has been the heart and soul of the Raptors team, their leader and everything else. You would really be changing directions to remove Fred VanVleet from the mix.
Yeah, I think the more palatable trade, at least from, you know, talking about the fan base and I guess a consensus, would be Gary Trent Jr. How do you think there'd be a strong market for Gary Trent Jr. around the league, a guy who can give you some scoring, whether it's off the bench or in your starting lineup, a guy who can kind of be fit into any situation and still offer value? Do you think there'd be a lot of NBA teams lining up if Gary Trent Jr. was made available?
Well, Gary Trent Jr., a lot of teams would love to have him. But that doesn't mean they're going to give you a lot back. I mean, you would get someone similar to Gary Trent Jr. back. And here's the problem. Gary Trent Jr. is the best shooter in that starting lineup. So you're going to need shooting back. So a trade shooter for shooter probably doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't see Gary Trent Junior being anything that brings them what they need, quite honestly. You would have to go bigger with, you know, one of those frontline guys or Fred VanVleet. I think Trent brings you the least of those five guys. I think that what happens with fans a lot is, you know, they want to keep VanVleet and Siakam. Scotty Barnes is young. We love OG Anunoby, and we want to add another really good player. And it gets to be funny. Like, you know, what do you think you're going to – how do you think you're going to add another really good player if you're not going to give up anything? They're either going to have to mortgage the future and give up the young guys they do have and draft picks, or, you know, they're sort of stuck right now if they don't want to move any of those other four guys.
Well, OG is someone that seemingly the whole league wants. There was a rumored Donovan Mitchell-esque package that I think was about a month ago that was rumored to be something that might have been on the table or would have been something that maybe would be, you know, comparable. If that's the case, and maybe it's similar, that's going to be something you think the Raptors would have to bite on.
Well, again, it's so hard, Ailish, when you're talking about trades, because until you know the specifics, it's hard to know if it's something the Raptors should be interested in or not. I mean, you know, you would have to have names and details on the deal. OG Anunoby would certainly be someone that would draw great interest. He can guard pretty much all five positions, maybe not some of the real big fives, but he can guard all five positions. He shoots the ball well, especially from the corner three. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. He's a tough, competitive guy. Yeah, anybody would want an OG Anunoby, and I think he would have good value. It's just a matter of what you can get back. One of the hardest things to do in the NBA or probably any pro sport is go from being in the middle of the pack, being pretty good, to being better, you know, and that's why you see so many teams decide to break it down and rebuild. It's a hard path that the Raptors have. There's nothing easy about what they're going to have to try to do to move up. A lot of tough decisions ahead of them. And I think right now their main focus has to be on playing the game a little better. And to me, in watching them, it means that they've simply got to take better shots. They force a lot of shots. Their shot difficulty is very, very high. I think that could get better. And then their defense can still be a little bit better, and it has been better in the past. They can get back to that. So I think they can get better around the edges and probably – you know, maybe their ceiling is to make a run at the sixth spot and a guaranteed playoff spot, get in that top six, and then, you know, in the playoffs, see what happens.
The reigning rookie of the year, Scotty Barnes, is riding a sharp little upswing right now with a couple really good performances of late. But it has, in reality, been a pretty tough season for him. But it's understandable. He's 21 years old, and you probably know better than anyone that it's difficult to be consistent and consistently dominant in this league at a very young age. What are the realities of being 21, and what should our expectations be, whether it should be tempered a little bit, given that this guy is still trying to find his feet in the NBA?
Yeah, and look, he does so many things well. I mean, you know, he's a jack-of-all-trades guy. Nick Nurse moves him around. He can do about anything. I thought the last game against the Bucks in Toronto was a little bit of a turning point for him, because the Bucks totally disrespected him on the perimeter. I mean, nobody guards him real tough on the perimeter. I mean, Brooke Lopez literally played down at the dotted circle when he had the ball up top. He wouldn't shoot the ball. You know, he didn't score a basket for the first 2.5 quarters. He looked tentative and a little bit embarrassed, actually. And then he just started putting his head down, taking up the space and going right at the basket. And he ends up with 9 buckets in the last quarter and a half in overtime. And I think he started to play with more confidence. As you said, he's played better. But as with most guys who end up taking a jump in this league, where Scotty Barnes is going to take a jump is when his shooting improves. He does about everything else really, really well. If he can learn to shoot the ball, he takes a jump. I mean, we've seen guys we talk about, oh, this guy's really improved in everything else. It's usually been that they've learned to shoot the ball, and he's certainly young enough that he's got a chance to do that. But he's going to have to be able to, at the very least, become a decent mid-range shooter, if not be able to step out at the three-point line and shoot the ball at 34-35%. But where he is now, it's tough for him because of the way people guard him.
How do you feel about the Bucks coming into tonight's game? I know you've obviously been doing your homework for tonight's analyst role, but I don't think that they've been themselves lately, and probably has to do with Giannis missing three straight games due to knee soreness. I'm not sure if he's fully confirmed tonight, but if he's in or if he's not in, how's this team been looking as of late, and do the Raptors have a chance to put together two straight wins here?
Yeah, I mean, both teams coming in on a back-to-back, a lot tougher back-to-back for Toronto because of how their game last night played out, going into the overtime and those guys putting in big minutes. But Raptors starters putting in big minutes is pretty normal, and they're used to it. If Giannis doesn't play again, I think it's a game Toronto has to get. I mean, you get a chance to play Milwaukee without Giannis, you've got to beat them. Middleton's already out. I mean, that's a game you have to win. With Giannis, you're right. I mean, they have not played great. They got off to a 9-0 start. They're 19-16 since. So decent, but pretty mediocre. And they're another team that has really struggled offensively. Actually, in terms of overall offense, they've been even worse. I mean, they're a bottom 10 offensive team in the league. They have struggled to shoot the ball also. And so the matchup will be interesting. Milwaukee's a great defensive team. Will not be easy for Toronto to generate great opportunities, but Milwaukee will also struggle. Toronto turned them over 25 times when they played in Toronto. If they can force turnovers and get out and run again, then they'll have a great chance to win the game.
Something that we saw yesterday, which was one of the first times in a while that we saw it with the Raptors, was some energy. And Nick Nurse has been critical of their starts, their energy as of late. They're obviously going to need that tonight, regardless if Giannis is in or not. But as a head coach, how do you get the guys to be more consistent with energy? Is it a preparation thing? Is it the pregame pump up? Like, is it a leadership role? How do they address that as a locker room to find some more consistency with their starts and their energy levels?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's anything Nick Nurse can do about that. I mean, there's a lot Nick Nurse can do in terms of strategy and tactics and lineups and everything else, but players playing with energy is on the players, and we pay players a lot of money in this league to come out and play 82 games and to play them hard, and I don't think that should ever be hung on a coach. If they're not playing with energy, and frankly, that's not something that I've seen. When they've gotten off to bad starts, you know, whether it was, you know, the other night, I'm trying to figure out now, my mind's going blank on who they played.
Tough start versus the Hawks, Atlanta.
Yeah, the awful start against the Hawks. They had an awful start against the Bucks the last time they played. Again, if you look at those bad starts, I didn't think it was energy. They can't put the ball in the basket. Like, you can't start games 1-for-13. I don't care what your energy is. You're not going to be off to a good start. I mean, to me, we can overanalyze this Raptors team. They're last in the league in effective field goal percentage. They're last in the league in three-point percentage. We can pretty well stop the analysis right there. If you're going to be the worst shooting team in the league, the fact that you can even be 20 and 24 is pretty miraculous in this day and age.
Yeah, hard to win games, but also probably hard to keep an energy level up if you're down 18-2 4 minutes into the game, which is something the Raptors have found themselves, or a position the Raptors have found themselves in a few times this year because of that poor shooting. Okay, last one for you here, Stan. A quick look outside the Toronto market. Is Nikola Jokic still the NBA's most valuable player, and are the Nuggets the NBA's best team?
Well, I don't know if they're the best team. I guess if I had to say right now, the best team's been Boston. But Denver is pretty close. And to me, we've had a lot of great performances this year. But the MVP race at the halfway point's a two-man race with Jokic and Doncic. Both having unbelievable years. If you look at all the numbers and the advanced analytics and everything else, it's those two guys. Jokic has had a lot more help this year. Last year, he didn't have much help and you know, was still able to get them in the playoffs and everything else and was rewarded with the MVP. If Doncic can do the same thing, not having a whole lot of help in Dallas, then he could surpass Jokic. But to me, those are the only two guys you can really talk about, even though there's been plenty of other guys, you know, that you could say are marginally in the race.
Another nationally televised game for the Raptors tonight. Stan Van Gundy will be on the call with Brian Anderson. We look forward to that, and we look forward to catching up with you again down the road. Thanks, Stan. This was fun.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Stan Van Gundy, former NBA head coach and color analyst for TNT.
I'm not sure how I'm leaning tonight with the Raptors, but if they're 5-point dogs tonight, but if there's no Giannis in, it might be a good time to grab that line.
I mean, that line is going to move, whether it's whether or not we get Giannis confirmation that he's in or out, because it doesn't really make sense. That's a half line, I think, where they're just kind of, you can lay your bets. Someone will have information. They'll take advantage of it. But until that information is known, that seems like a weird line.
We got Raptors at 7:30, Panthers facing the Leafs at 7. Could do a little homers parlay. Feeling good. I could Raptors. I don't know about that.
Three of the four teams involved are on the second night of a back-to-back. The only team not.
The Maple Leafs.
Or Toronto Maple Leafs.
We do have our pick-aside recap. We did nothing there. We have Leafs, Panthers, Raps, Bucks, and the Australian Open is in swing, full swing right now. Maybe you have some bets from that. Send it in at 590, 590. But before we take a break, let's give away some tickets, Justin.
Okay.
Eric Church is coming to Bud Stage this summer on July 7th as a part of the Outsiders Revival Tour, and we're giving away tickets all week long. All you have to do is tune into the Fan Morning Show every day this week and listen for the code word, then text the code word to 590, 590. You'll be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. Today's code word, record year. Text record year to 590-590 right now for your chance to win. We're giving away another pair of tickets tomorrow. Tickets go on sale to the general public this Friday at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster.ca. So you can get ahead of the game. You can get some tickets. You can put them in your calendar and head to Eric Church on July 7th.
I'm going to get ahead of the game this week and just text in Springsteen.
You think that'll be one of them?
I feel like it's got to be.
We should have predictions on... Well, yesterday was country. Today was record year.
Country threw me off a little bit. A little generic.
Well, they just wanted you to know it's a country concert.
There you go. We're building up to Springsteen then.
Talladega should be one.
That's a good one.
Springsteen should definitely be one.
He's got a lot of one word song titles. Perfect.
That's true. Yeah, I'm taking a look at the song. I haven't listened to much Eric Church as of late, but...
No better time than now to dive back in. Let us know, by the way, if you won the Wake and Rake yesterday. Four legs may or may not have won, depending on what book you're at. Let us know if you won. I'd like to, a little positive feedback would be nice for me.
Technically, all four of our picks did win. It's just maybe you bet with the wrong book that didn't allow for the shootout goals to count, but that's okay because...
Little technical.
A win's a win, and we are going to keep rolling. That was a good start to the week.
I needed it.
We did. We have the Wake and Rake next. Send in your picks at 590, 590. We'll get those in next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's time for the Wake and Rake on the Fan Morning Show. Lots to look at this evening. Leafs in action, Raptors in action. You've got a full day of Australian Open. Well, the time zones are a bit weird, so
it's hard to bet on the Australian Open.
We're looking at trying to figure out when the Canadians are playing, and we've both seen different time zones.
Yeah.
We're struggling a little bit. I'm seeing that, like, you can bet on tennis today that is being played today at 7 p.m., like, when I look it up, but then you've seen different lines.
When does Layla play next in Eastern Standard Time? That's a question we need answered.
I see Tuesday at 7 p.m., which would be today, and I also see Bianca Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Well, I'm seeing Wednesday, but that could be Wednesday in Australia. So we're confused. We'll figure it out.
You'd think we could figure out time zones,
right? The field is, you know, there are a couple people have been eliminated, of course, because the tournament is underway, but we need to, you know, get down to the nitty gritty so we can at least figure out when people are playing and what time things are at.
Well, maybe you have some picks from that. None coming in today, but that's always an option at 590, 590. We got Leafs and Panthers. Panthers are hovering around 500. They haven't been the prolific team that they have been in the past. I'm feeling confident the Leafs can continue to get some big home ice wins. And on a day extra, 2 days extra of rest against the Panthers, I think they're in a really favorable spot. Don't know the confirmed starting goaltender for tonight, though.
No, yeah, Florida is playing a little better of late, ramping up for that All-Star game that they're hosting may or may not have more than one representative at. But 6 wins in their last 10 games on a little 2-game win streak. They beat the Buffalo Sabres last night, so a little disadvantage coming in. But if they're playing better hockey, they are the team that won the President's Trophy last year. There's still some talent on that roster. It just has not worked out yet with the Matthew Tkachuk trade and losing Huberdeau and losing Uyghur. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll get a better look at them tonight, but it's been a pretty underwhelming season so far for the Florida Panthers, and the Leafs are rightful favorites tonight.
Samsonov, a projected starter.
Which makes sense.
Bobrovsky, of course, on the other side, also projected, not confirmed yet, but keep that in mind for your picks. We do have a lot of hockey in the text line today. We got the Red Hot Kraken playing the Oilers. You hate the Kraken with a passion, so I'm not sure if you're going to be looking at that game or wanting to tune into it because they're your least favorite sporting team on the planet.
Let's quickly go over divisional weekend, review pick aside. Then we'll get to my hatred of the Kraken because I am going that route.
Okay,
tonight.
So pick aside recap. It was a wash. Both teams won 2 bets. Both teams lost 2 bets. So the score is now 28-23. We didn't do much. Last night, the Bucks really slapped us in the face with that loss. So
yeah, we had control of our own destiny, and we kind of dropped the ball a little bit. I think the situation is this. There's 7 games remaining. We're down 5. I think we have to win 6 of the next 7 selections in order to tie. In order to win outright, we'll have to get all 7 correct.
Oh, my God. We're never going to win.
So we need to run the table this weekend, or at worst, 3-1, and then we got to win the next 3.
Oh boy, we're gonna lose. No offense.
We are definitely losing. But
I didn't realize it was that dire. But
it's dire. There's not much football left there, Ailish Forfar.
Can we make them worth like 2 points or something?
Well, you'll have to negotiate with the boys.
If we win, it's worth 2 points.
I don't know if anyone
will
like my power
one.
Play. Maybe they might have to concede that. I don't know if that'll go over well.
Anyway, we don't even know what we're playing for, so just bragging rights.
We'll figure it out. We'll give them something because
they are
clearly winning. But
let's take a look at the lines.
Looking ahead, like there isn't any small spread games. The smallest spread game is 4 points with the 49ers favored at home versus the Dallas Cowboys. We're looking at a lot of. If you want to take a favorite, you gotta lay it a little bit. The Kansas City Chiefs are 8.5 points in the first game at home to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Philadelphia Eagles are 7.5 point favorites over the New York Giants. That one seems a little bit aggressive for me.
Mm.
Cincinnati Bengals are getting 5 points on the road in Buffalo.
4.5 now. It's been up and down.
4.5, 5, still in that range where it's like, yeah, that's you got to win by margin at that point either way. And as I mentioned, 4 points the 49ers getting versus Dallas. Anything stand out to you?
I like my Giants.
I mean, I feel like that's the most that's the opportunity that jumps off the page, where it's like, okay, the Giants have some momentum. They've been playing one score games all season long. They found a little bit here with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley peaking at maybe the right time. Mm-hmm. But also, we don't know if Jalen Hurts is even healthy.
That's right.
We don't know what this guy can do. He got some reps in week 18 and played well, but it wasn't the full Jalen Hurts. He was like a pocket passer for the majority of that game. And if he's only going to be a pocket passer, I think the New York Giants can do well defensively against the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, there's a lot of weapons there, but that D-line for the New York Giants looks really, really good. And if Jalen Hurts can't move around or is reluctant to move around because he's afraid of taking hits on that injured shoulder, the Philadelphia Eagles could be a little vulnerable.
I look at all the teams remaining, and I think the Giants ride a momentum the most, other than maybe the Jags, who just had the comeback of the century, but they still have major questions with, like, Trevor Lawrence being two different players in one game. But Daniel Jones was consistently great in that game. They upset, you know, the upset of the weekend that was, I guess, the one that we predicted as well. But they're riding on momentum. I feel like they just have nothing to lose. Like, they're already exceeding expectations in every facet of this season. Why not continue riding that momentum?
I will say, very good teaser leg the Kansas City Chiefs are. Get the 6.5 points, you go to 2. They basically just have to win by a field goal. You can pair that maybe with the Eagles if you feel strongly that they'll be okay and they'll win that game. I'm not sure there's another teaser leg out there that's really, really attractive. But the Chiefs getting them to just win by a field goal is a nice spot. I kind of like the overs too. Like, why wouldn't there be scoring in Kansas City, Jacksonville? Like, for it to stay under the total, which is 52, Kansas City and Jacksonville, the Jags can't score because the Kansas City Chiefs are scoring in this game.
Big time.
For sure.
Do you worry about rest versus rust at all?
No.
Okay.
Not with a team like Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Maybe more so with the Eagles because we haven't seen much of Hurts lately, that it might take a little
That's another reason why I felt a little more Giants-y.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an advantage to playing. I think if you get through unscathed, then you can ride that momentum a little bit. I think maybe the Giants could use that. I'm not sure it's going to help Jacksonville versus Kansas City, though. And I kind of like the over in Buffalo-Cincinnati. Why wouldn't there be more scoring in that game than a normal game? We're at 50.5 right now.
Especially with making mistakes like Josh Allen has been, and other teams capitalizing it. That's a bit worrisome.
Yeah, if there's mistakes made in the game, both teams are going to be able to capitalize on them. So I kind of like the overs in the higher scoring games that are offered here, at least through Vegas's eyes. And there are a couple things that stand out. You might have to be a little creative. Maybe it's Kansas City Chiefs first half because Jacksonville's been so bad in the first half. Just a couple things to look at. We'll break it down a little bit more this week.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure we have plenty of opportunity to set up the divisional round this weekend. I was just looking at tickets for Sunday's game, man, over in Buffalo. They're about an arm and a leg.
Yeah? Full arm, full leg?
At least full arm, full leg.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
It's a game of a lifetime, though.
Would you? Yeah, I mean, you're coming off a massive gambling victory yourself.
You're right. I did pocket some change.
Why not parlay that into a big weekend?
If we can hit a couple
stories
wake
for the
and
fan
rakes,
morning show next
oh
Monday.
Oh, my God, would there ever be. It's a 3 p.m. start, so a little bit later arrival back at home, but it'd be worth it.
You'll miss a lot of the 49ers and Cowboys, but you'll come back with stories.
Yeah, whatever, you can handle
that
one.
You'll be well-rested. I think that might be the best thing.
I can just use Rogers Ignite on my way home.
If not the best thing for you, the best thing for the show, which is very, very important.
I have set a mental ticket price that I'm willing to pay. And when it might hit that, I would be willing to pull the trigger.
Okay. So,
but we're not close is what I'm saying.
I will say we're not close yet. I will say I'm not close on that spread. I like the Bengals.
Yeah. And Ty Dunn said the same thing.
I like the Bengals. They're scrappy. Buffalo, mistakes.
Look how Buffalo handled Miami Dolphins, barely.
I'm surprised it's 5, to be honest.
So
I know the Bengals are banged up on the offensive line, but I'm surprised that you can get 5 points with the Bengals right now.
We got a text in. You're following into Vegas' trap. The Eagles are going to stomp the Giants. Vikings are terrible.
Yeah, they might. I think the teaser's the best play, though. Drop that down with the Chiefs. Basically, you just need field goal victories for the Chiefs and Eagles, and you can start your Saturday, or you can conclude your Saturday with a W.
All right, last one here of the football text in. I like Dallas to cover the 4 points. Oh, this text just moved. Hold on. Versus San Francisco, if the spread gets larger, they'll need to solo bet it. I think the Cowboys get over that hump last night and now have momentum. They look fantastic. I placed a parlay last night in the Chiefs halftime full-time money line at minus 180. I thought that was good value versus a straight money line. That's Ryan and Stony Creek getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, the money line's 450 right now, so I think that's a good way to play it. I cannot imagine a situation where Kansas City's not leading at the half. I can't.
I think you're right.
So that's a good look.
Find some value. Okay, do you want to go through your selection for this evening?
Yeah, very easy. We're looking to bet NHL totals this week, as promised. And I'm looking at the third and fourth best offenses in the league now, right now, meeting in the nightcap. Seattle in Edmonton, 6.5.
Wow, I can't believe you'll watch the Seattle Kraken.
-125. I might not watch because I generally, when I do bet, I have to cover my eyes. But I like the Kraken and Oilers to combine
Jack
for seven
Campbell
goals.
In that?
I don't think it matters much. If it's a Skinner night, hey, we might see Evander Kane back for the Oilers.
Yeah, that's
a question mark. He's been practicing on a regular
still.
Line. So I don't know. Seattle's coming off a second half of a back-to-back as well. So maybe it gives the Oilers an opportunity to put 4 or 5 up. And no matter who's in net, the Oilers are getting scored on, at least it seems. So I'll take the over in Seattle, Edmonton.
All right, it's at 6.5. We'll lock that in. 9 p.m. start, so it's not too late. But
might get a period in.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so Maple Leafs hosting the Panthers. Panthers on a back-to-back. I love the Leafs tonight. I think them just on the regular money line, regular time money line is, I saw it at -110.
That's regulation, sorry.
Regulation money line, yep. This just a straight-up money line. It's just a bit too much juice for tonight. But I like them to just come out, have a good, solid game against a team that they're better than. And they lost to the Panthers. I mean, they lost to the Bruins on the weekend. They got a little bit of a test of what it means to be a top-tier team. So, like the Leafs tonight, the straight-up money line is -177, so looking for value and just go regulation time. We also have some texts in on the puck line, but it could still be like a 3-2 win. I don't know. I just want to go regulation.
Okay, more comfortable in regulation. Not comfortable in overtime, although they've been better. So, yeah, I think you've identified a winner.
Okay, so we're going to put together the Wake and Rake parlay here. We got a couple texts in. Let's start off with Cole Caulfield, one goal. He has 6 and 7 games, and Winnipeg is middle of the pack against wingers defensively. It's +125.
Middle of the pack against wingers defensively. That's an interesting handicap.
That's quite the insightful knowledge.
Caulfield should be the Montreal's all-star, in my opinion. That's a nice number. Maybe a little rich for the parlay.
All right, good morning. Great start to the week with a Wake and Rake hit. Our Hall of Famer did it again.
Someone had it.
Yep, our Hall of Famer did it again with another 15-rebound performance, and Jordan Poole and the Warriors did their thing to cap off a great day. For today's anchor, I'm going with William Nylander to score an anytime goal at +158. He usually has a high volume of shots, and I think he'll break his 6-game goalless drought. Juliana loves the Leafs on the puck line at +140. The Panthers are on a back-to-back and are starting a goalie who has played one game this year. Leafs steamroll the Panthers tonight. Ron and Juliana mark them.
Okay, so it's not going to be Bobrovsky, according to Juliana. See
well,
if
she's
I can
got
find
the inside
the
scoop. I went to projected starters on left wing lock, and I said him.
Okay, well, see. We'll
Juliana
see.
Juliana's got inside information, apparently.
Fortunately, I don't think it matters so much.
That's
I think
true.
The Maple Leafs are going to score on whoever's in net, and maybe William Nylander gets it.
All right, Wake and Rake pick, Pierre-Luc Dubois over 2.5 shots at +171.
1.7, I think, if I'm reading that right.
That's always tough to
in the minuses.
Explain.
Yeah.
Playing Montreal, he wants to end up in Montreal. Going to try to put on a show for them tonight. He's hit it 8 out of the last 10 and 6 straight.
Yeah, there is a thing to Montreal for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting look. I can't give credit, no name.
I'll find it. Good morning, Eric from Burlington. Excited to see the Leafs back in action tonight. I like them on the puck line tonight. Good game for a bounce back. Leafs are at home against a very average Panthers team. We're on the back-to-back. Sounds like a lock to me.
Yep. A lot of support for the Leafs. Glad we're playing them.
Good morning, Rakers. Sorry I missed yesterday. I was at him in bed with a day off. Back to the grind today, trying to attain the heights that Ailish has set for us. Congratulations on your weekend. I'm feeling a Michael Bunting night and a goal at +225. Alec Tuck is the power play point tonight at +225 as well. And also be over on the Buds and the Panthers tonight. Can't lose. Adam in the truck.
Okay. Adam in the truck has stated his case.
We can't lose 4 in a row. Leafs on the money line. Steve from Sutton. Let me just say, hometown Sutton. I was pumped up to see Steve from Sutton. Made my day. Shout out Sutton. Sutton Arena. Hedge Road. The Blue Bridge. Sutton Public School.
One of our favorite hamlets.
Thanks, Steve. So, Leafs on the money line. We got lots of Leafs on the money line. Should I just switch to Leafs on the money line? Might be. Port Hope.
Maybe puck line, but money line's too. Well, money line is actually in range, but I feel like we should stick with what you got.
Good morning. Today for my Wake and Rake pick, I'm going to the NHL and taking Minnesota Moneyline versus Washington. Washington is coming off a tough come-from-behind win last night versus the Islanders. I like the fresh legs of Minnesota versus the potentially tired Capitals. That's Corey in Port Hope.
Minnesota, just, they are plucky, man. Like, they should be really feeling the Parise and Suter buyouts right now, but they continue to just win games and be a threat in the Central Division. Two good teams, though. I don't know if there's much separating them other than the rest factor.
Sam from Owen Sound. It might be late for the Wake and Rake pick, but I think the pick has to be Tom Brady to retire. Unfortunately, after last night's performance, I think he has to, even though I'm a massive Bucs supporter. One thing about Sam from Owen Sound is this weekend, I might be in Owen Sound for the PWHPA Showcase game and Hockey Day in Canada. It's going to be very fun up there. Hopefully, Sam and Owen Sound and co. can attend and support. But
unfortunately, I think Brady retire is probably going to be in the plus 500 range.
I don't think we can put that in the Wake and Rake, but maybe for the future. McDavid over 1.5 points for the Wake and Rake. That's Jag in Scarborough.
Definitely fits my narrative.
I like that one. Grizz from Scarbs. This is a new one. Kraken with a deserving yet succulent plus 145 plus after a ton of travel and a back-to-back going into Edmonton. Oilers goalies inspire no confidence, and Kraken will bounce back after a tough game versus the Lightning. Insert several dollar signs here.
I think it might be the Oilers tonight, but let's count on a couple Kraken goals and call it a day.
All right, so Neil in Newfoundland mentioned that he did send in a anchor pick for the Australian Open yesterday, but must have missed it. Sometimes it's a bit chaotic, so I got to give Neil in Newfoundland a shout out. He had Rublev minus 4.5, and he won by 9 games. So
just crushed our boy Dominic team.
Yeah. Thanks to Neil.
Missed out on that one.
Sorry, I missed it. All right. Ryan and Stony Creek. Oh, I already read that one. Sorry. So those are our Wake and Rake. We have a couple more in the app here. Ryan and Stony Creek also says, I like the Minnesota Wild. He just texted in again. Wow, Ryan from Stony Creek's fired up this morning. I like Minnesota Wild on the money line versus Washington on the back-to-back as well. Predators plus 116 on the puck line. Both teams back, but Predators have been playing strongly, and Columbus is Columbus.
So if I'm seeing this correctly, McDavid over 1.5 points, Minnesota money line over Washington, or the over 2.5 shots for PLD in Montreal. The choice is yours.
We now have another Minnesota Wild on the money line. And you know what? We have never bet Minnesota Wild on the show.
All right.
I don't think we've ever even said their names.
Two is enough.
So
let's do it.
Let's lock that in. It's a 3 hockey bet night, a parlay of hockey for you. The Kraken and Oilers over 6.5 goals. The Wild just straight up on the money line versus the Capitals. And the Maple Leafs in a regulation win tonight, altogether plus 526. You also have the option to add Leafs on the puck line if you're feeling spicy. Is Julius Randle playing tonight?
Let's keep it to 3. Let's keep it to 3.
I know, but oh, he's not anyway, so well, they had a back-to-back.
Next time. Ron and Giuliano, let us know next time they do. The Toronto Raptors are also playing. They're currently 5-point dogs.
I like that before they pick the
second half of a back-to-back. I don't think we're going to get
status on Giannis.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any player options, any player props right now because the status of Giannis, et cetera, unknown at this point. So I think you're guessing if you want to bet that game right now. But if Giannis is ruled eligible and that line moves, maybe we have some faith in the Raptors. I'm not really sure. I mean, it's probably priced accordingly or will be priced accordingly if Giannis is in fact playing. But if you could get 5 without Giannis in the lineup, maybe that'd be worth exploring. But the line will move right now. Raptors in tough if Giannis does in fact play.
Neil in Newfoundland now has sent in an Australian Open pick. I got to make sure I read it. Today I'll go with Mackenzie McDonald plus 7.5 games versus Rafa Nadal. Nadal likes a tight one.
I actually bet against Nadal in the first round, and Nadal covered the spread. So, I don't want to mess with Rafa again.
All right, we're getting a couple texts in that it will be not Bobrovsky. Apparently, he did play last night, so it makes sense. So they haven't confirmed it, but the text line knows.
Okay,
they're smarter than us. All right, Adam in the truck says he's in Sutton right now. Big night for Sutton. I want to say that tonight, a little revenge game slash something to circle is Chris Tierney coming to play the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. former teammate of mine, York Simcoe Express, a Keswick guy, which is adjacent to Sutton. Sometimes we like to loop them in together. Sutton Stingers and Sutton Rangers wouldn't feel too great about that, but we're neighbors. So maybe Chris Tierney gets a goal tonight. Just something to circle when you're looking at tonight's matchup versus the Panthers. A local kid coming to town. Could be a big Chris Tierney night.
I'm sure you'll be flashing the bet slips if that comes to fruition.
It's a very random selection, but I would be not surprised to see that tonight. All right. Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Panthers 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, and Raptors on the road against the Bucks at 7:30. We'll be back to break it down tomorrow. No Toronto sports on your hump day. So you get a little bit of a day off. But we'll be back tomorrow morning. It was a Fan Morning Show for Justin and Ailish. Have a great day.